1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
Over the last 8 days, Maria and I traveled to the island land of Fiji. Yes, Fiji. Not Tahiti. Not like when you say to your friends, where are you going on vacation? We're going to Fiji. Oh, well, when you get to Tahiti. No. Fiji. Not that it's a big thing, but Fiji's different from Tahiti. First of all, in Fiji, they speak English. Tahiti used to be a part of France. Reason enough to stay away from Fiji. Or I mean Tahiti. Well, you know what I mean. French Polynesia. You didn't know that, did you, Janice? Tahiti used to be a part of France. I think it still is on some level. Reason enough to just fly right over it. Don't even land. Don't even... You can glance down and maybe look at the coral reef. But the better place to go is this place, Fiji. Now, Fiji's fantastic. We just got back. We came back on Friday. Or was it Saturday? Well, I don't know. Want to know why? International Dateline. You got it. We left on a Thursday. We got there on a Saturday. It only takes 11 hours, and I say only, when you fly Air New Zealand, it's a breeze. Let me just recommend right off the bat, I'm not getting paid, I'm not being remunerated for anything, but Air New Zealand, what a first ticket operation they are. Top to bottom, man. Yeah, okay, we flew business class, but we got the 2-for-1 on American Express. It ain't like we're paying cash all the way for this stuff. We're always going for the cheapies, the little freebies, the little cheapo productions. We're always looking for the media rate. That's what you do. My wife being a very economical, she looks for these bargains. So anyway, we've got this business class seat on Air New Zealand. They had the double-decker. You go up the stairs, and you're sitting on the second level. This is sweet because there's only two rows. There's just one aisle and two rows of two seats. Then they have a little locker next to your seat. You put your stuff in there. Then they got those fold-out TV screens. So they give you like a selection of 7 or 8 different movies you can watch. And they have the Air New Zealand flight attendants. And they all talk on that, you know, that Kiwi talk, you know, like that, you know. And I can't understand a word any of them are saying. And after 11 hours, it's no longer charming. It starts to get on your nerves. All right, that you can all stand. It sounded fine. And look, would you speak a version of English that I get? All the Danny Bond's kind of falling about, hey. Yeah, I get it about the didgeridoo and the boomerang. Just give me a Bloody Mary, a double. You know what a double is, don't you? Roy, what'd I get you, sir? Yeah, I'd like a double Bloody Mary, man. A double. Guy brings it back. No, I don't want straight mix. I want... It was like 11 hours of a Paul Hogan movie. Now, anyway, that was great. And they're tremendous. And by the way, I saw Training Day going down there. What movie did I watch going down there? Going down there, I watched Royal Tenenbaums. Horrible. Horrible movie. I don't care if the new thing is the Wilson brothers, Owen and Luke, and they're just so droll. The movie was terrible. Gene Hackman was funny, and Owen Wilson was funny, and there were funny moments, right? But the movie was ridiculous. It was not a funny movie. Despite what you've heard, despite what your friends have told you, it blew from one end to the next. It blew for 11 solid hours, it blew. It blew from L.A. to Fiji. Then the other movie that sucked coming back, Training Day. That's right. Every cop movie cliche crammed into one really stupid movie. And Denzel Washington, look, Denzel, I get it that you're chewing up the scenery. You know, stop it already. Will you do a good movie? You're a good actor. Do a good movie. That'd be something to work on for the next year. Good actor, good script. Put them both together. Now you got something I'd like to maybe lay $8. Although the movie was free because I say free. We got 2-for-1 in the business class. Did I pay for that movie or not? I don't know. What did he do? He did Hurricane. He got nominated. It was a great part, you know, but the movie was horrible. Then he comes along with his Training Day. Look, I've seen every Starsky and Hutch that there is to see, every version of Colors, every... Name it. What cop movie do you want to talk about? It's all there crammed into one boring 2 hours, Training Day. Now, I know that Mr. Washington doesn't need the money. He's living out there in Calabasas, a nice spread. What is it with you, man? Are you trying to be an action hero? Is that it? Yeah, it's going a long way for Arnold Schwarzenegger, I notice. Just get back to being an actor, will you please? Thank you. I know I can make these comments because I signed a deal with NBC. Thank you very much. All right, getting back to Fiji. 11 hours. We land there 2:30 in the morning. Sound bad? It ain't exactly, because the airport's kind of free and clear. You get yourself a little day room there in Nandi. That's the some town in Fiji. I don't know what it is. That's where the airport is. That's it. First thing I want to say about Fiji, and this is something that I know many of you will appreciate, the people are really nice. They're really nice people. They may not be European. They may not be, you know, people from Copenhagen. They may not be urbane and sophisticated like your average Italian, but they're nice people. Really sweet. And what we did is we toured around the town. Set up day, so because we got to take off and take a bush plane to get to the island where our resort is. And I say resort as opposed to hotel, because a resort is where you spend $8 a night. A hotel, only $100.50. And so what we did is we took a tour around Nandi. This Fiji Indian cab driver, apparently the Indians got to Fiji at one point, and they're just crawling with him on this one part of this town, Nandi. And we went into this place to get a sulu. It's a skirt that you're supposed to wear. The guys down there wear dresses during formal occasions. It's called a sulu, as in Mr. Sulu. And you wrap it around, and you go to church, or you go to a bar, you pick up chicks, whatever it is you want to do, but you got to wear this dress. And we walked in, and this poor kid, honest to God, I don't know how to put this, but I'm trying to be kind. This is a kid who was working in the store who was helping me and Maria pick out some stuff like clothes and beads and typical tourist crap that we were going to buy and bring back to the kids. I'd say this guy was about 22, and were it not for the hair on his arms, I would have sworn it was a chick. He was of Indian descent, a Fijian by birth.
Yes, this is a lovely dress. I think the colors, it's wonderful. Put it on. Mm-hmm. Now, see, it just is very loose. You drape it around you.
I'm like, his voice was even higher than that. I thought it was a girl. So I asked him, I said, so, are you from Fiji?
Yes, there's no future here. It's a dead end. It's just like...
I'm thinking, no kidding. What is a guy like you going to do? I said, so where do you want to go?
Well, of course, someday America or Europe. But, toss of the coin.
I said, so what do you want to do? Well, that was the question of the day.
Interior design, some kind of decoration, I don't know.
And I felt bad, so I gave the kid my card. I gave him Chris Pelton's name. With your home phone number, Chris. And I really think you could do a lot for this guy. He'll be calling soon. So then we went to, we took a little tour around the town, whatever the hell, man. You know, a lot of those countries, whether it's Fiji, Tahiti, whether it's Mexico, I don't think I'm being chauvinistic, and I don't think that I... No, in fact, I know I'm not being chauvinistic, and I don't think that I'm being an overbearing imperialist American when I say many of these places look the same. And by that, I mean Mexico, the very impoverished parts of Mexico, look identical to the really poor parts of Fiji. They just do. In fact, Fiji could be Jamaica. One huge difference. You know how beautiful Jamaica is? I mean, seriously, the ocean and the palmetto groves and everything. Big difference. The people in Fiji are glad to see you. They're helpful. They're glad to see you. They tell you where things are. They're very friendly. They're very warm. They want to know about your family. They tell you about themselves. They give you a little, kind of a word's eye view of their country, the history of their country. They're very proud of their country. They're happy people. That's the major difference between people in Fiji and, let's say, Jamaicans or Bahamians or anybody over there. The ones down there, they're great, but the ones over there, forget it. Now, the national sport in Fiji, by the way, and I met this guy actually after we got over to the resort that we were staying at. This guy's name was Pai. And this cat was about 6'5", about 300 pounds, and he talked like this. Bula, which is their way of saying hello. I said, Pai, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
So what do you guys play over here?
Play a lot of rugby. Big sport rugby in Fiji. Play rugby. Kick New Zealand's ass. Tore him a new ass.
Really? Well, listen, Pai,
Fijian people very proud rugby.
Did you dump it? I get nervous because Jeff's on the board here today, and I said, dump that, Jeff, and he's like,
let me find the button first. I don't know. What did you say, poo?
Anyway, Pai's talking about rugby as the national sport in Fiji, and everywhere you go, you see a rugby pitch. They don't call it a field. They call it either a pitch or grounds. Now, I've pitched up at a rugby game, but I've never called the field the pitch. Anyway,
this guy talks like this.
And
So I said to this cat, so what's new in the world of rugby?
Well, bad news. Bad news.
The guy says to me, I said, what happened, man? The guy goes,
rugby team, Fiji national rugby team, practicing, swim across river and back again.
Oh, so that's pretty heavy. So you guys swim across the river and everything?
That's right. But number one Fiji rugby player got lost. He drowned. Never find body. Looking for body now.
You're kidding.
No.
I said, this is the number one rugby player in Fiji. The cat got swept away in a river and they haven't found the body yet. Poor guy, you know. And I'm sitting there snickering and laughing. Like,
what are you laughing at?
I just think you're very funny. I think your people are... Quit
laughing!
Anyway, that was part and parcel of our trip to Fiji. But that's after we got over. So what happened was we had to take a bush plane from the main town of Nandi. And when I say bush plane, I ain't kidding. Because it's only leaving Nandi three times a week, and it goes over to the northern island, which is where Savu Savu is. And that's where all these resorts are that we were staying at. I say all of them. There's only maybe three or four. And I got in this plane, and it's only an hour, but when you're flying a prop job, and you're flying an airline, you know, what's the name? It's like Chris Pelton Airways. I don't know what it is. It's, you know, Asphalt Airlines, and you get on this thing. The cat who's flying the plane is wearing wraparound shades. He's got kind of one of those Clifton Collins Jr. mustaches. Looks like he ought to be either flying a plane or dealing heavy kava to, you know, in the urban areas of America. So he gets on, and then his co-pilot, and it's one of those things where there's nobody standing there giving you the whole safety dance. He turns around in the seat from the cockpit, just,
ladies and gentlemen, could I have your attention if we crash or anything, like the door open, I guess. So swim or song. Okay, thanks.
So we're taking off, and sure enough, we hit weather. It's crammed full. You know, there's like 15 people in there, many of them sweating, nervous Fijians. You know, Maria and I are the only two Europeans. You know, one guy is, the woman behind me is holding on to me with her baby as the plane is bouncing around in the wind and up and down in the clouds, and there's, you know, rain coming down. The guy doesn't even bother using his windshield wipers, because even if he did, he's looking at clouds, right? And I'm thinking, radar? Nope. Because the airstrip we're landing at is basically someone's driveway. And the air traffic control I got is a guy in a lifeguard stand with a flag. That's it. I'll let you know how it all came out when we return. So anyway, we were flying on Alaya Airlines, and the great thing about it... All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So we get to this island, Vanua Levu, on Buddy Holly Airways, and anything. Okay, seriously, we finally land, and I'm telling you, as the thing comes out of the clouds and the guy banks in, we're landing. This guy says,
we're going to be landing at Savu Savu Airport.
What do you mean, Savu Savu Airport? It's somebody's runway with a garage at the end of it, and a guy sitting in a chair with a flag, you know. It's, you made it! A checkered flag. Phew. So now we land and we get out, and it's kind of cool because there's a vibe going on there between a lot of the people that are owning some of those hotels and the natives. You know, there's a nice symbiosis. Yeah, I understand. I know exactly what many of you are thinking.
Yes, the exploitation of native labor.
Well, okay, maybe. I don't know. So far, they don't feel or look exploited to me. But anyway, we get on over to the thing, the resort we're staying at. And I would like to, at this time, say how much fun we had at the Jean-Michel Cousteau Resort. That's where we stayed. Randy, you're a good man. And we met Mike Fried, who's the owner. The place is fantastic. Really is. And what I mean by that
is that there wasn't this kind of, you know, you can go to some places where you might as well just be sealed off from the outside world. You know what I mean? You go to these hotels in some of these countries where, okay, now you've left the street and we've created a Shangri-La and you never have to see the outside world. You never, ever have to go out and smell the stink of the regular part of the country. You can just go into your little resort. No, it's not like that. I mean, it's just kind of this sort of a flow between the village and the local people and this where we were staying. You know, like every night before we went to dinner, you know, some of the village people would come in and they have this drink in Fiji called kava. Now, you might have heard of it, but it's basically an herb that is used as an anesthetic, I think. Or is that the right word? An anesthetic? No, an antidepressant. And they drink this, they grind the root up and they pour water through it and they drink this every night in these kava ceremonies. And what you do is you sit there and you clap once if you want to blast a kava, and so the main kava man lays it on you. Then you drink it, and then you're supposed to clap three times. I don't know why, but I was doing that all night. I've got two of the most bruised hands. Just, and you do it really loud, it means you really want the kava. That's pie again. You know, this big rugby player's going, you want kava? That's right, you have to hit real hard. Okay, great. Lay it on me, man. Ha 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 ha. I like you. This dude, just imagine this big freaking guy, you know. So sure enough, you drink enough of this stuff, and you're ready to go to bed. It just knocks you out. So they have this kava ceremony. Now, we went into the village one day because we had to bring the chief a kava root. Yes, that's right. There was a village, and there was a chief. And we had to go visit the chief. Otherwise, he'd get pissed. Now, why is that important? Well, how do I put this delicately? About 150 years ago, cannibalism was practiced on Fiji to a fine art. I mean, they didn't just eat people. They had special ovens, recipes, a regular weekly show on TV. They ate people. And I ain't talking about Soylent Green either. I mean brisket, roast, leg of lamb, the whole nine yards. So I don't go land no gift on this chief. Who knows, man? We're up Thursday night, blue plate special. So we take this root, and before we go in there, one of the main herbalists, kind of a medicine man, guy named Namaya, nice man, says, now when we go see the chief, there must be a respectful presentation of the kava root, so the men have to wear sulus, so we all got under these skirts, and remember, you have to, when I say oh, all the men say yo, and then the women go, do. And then the chief will let us in. And I'm thinking, this is a this is some kind of a, just some part of the program that they dummied up so we'd all think we're going into a real village. But we went. We went into this village, and we go, yo. And the women go, do way. And the guy says, come on in. And he's sitting on a porch. Might as well be in Georgia. That basic Fijian village is very reminiscent of your small town in Georgia. Is that good? Is that bad? I'll let you decide. Very nice people. And the homes are actually nice. You know, it's a nice place. Nobody drives anywhere. Everybody walks everywhere because the village is about as big as a parking lot. You know, it's just a few hundred yards and there's houses in there and that's what a village is. So we went in and we, you know, laid this on a chief because I'm thinking, you know, and as soon as I got to Fiji, I love history and I started reading up on all the history of Fiji and there it is, a whole chapter on cannibalism. And I'm telling you, they went to town on this cannibal thing. They ate their enemies. They ate anybody they didn't like. Some of the people they ate, they liked. Now, you all have heard of Captain Bly. You know who Captain Bly was? He was mutinied. He was set adrift by a bunch of mutineers, and he navigated the boat all the way to the Dutch East Indies, the Dutch West Indies. Well, he had to get through the Fiji Islands to do it, and he was chased by a Fijian war canoe, and actually outran a Fijian war canoe in this launch that he and 20 other men were in. And Bly had already knew about the Fijians being cannibals. Can you imagine this guy racing like a bat out of hell to get away from this war canoe because he knows that there is probably a colander and maybe a saute pan waiting for him and somebody with a big wooden spoon? Okay, 1-800-449-8686. More on Fiji on The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Continuing my story of our trip, Maria and my trip to Fiji. Now, we go to meet the village chief. Now, before we go and meet this village chief, the old medicine man is telling us, I say old medicine man and village chief, we're at a resort hotel, okay, and this is the village trip, but still, this guy is saying, now, very important, don't turn your back on the chief. Men stand in front of the women. You never let the women go first. Totally opposite from America, where the women goes first, the man always goes first. That shows that you are protecting the women. And then, another thing, don't lock eyes with the chief. We'll bring him the cover route. This is very important. And as the man's dramatic telling proceeds, I'm thinking, what if we screw up? I've just been reading about cannibalism. And there's a whole lot of me to go around, if you know what I'm talking about. The only thing that they threw away in the old days was the head and the hands and the feet. They ate everything else. I may be a fathead, but there's a few other parts of me that I'm sure they'd find delectable. So anyway, you know, we go over there, and I'm sweating all of this, you know, and I'm worried, and this one dude is pulling his camera out. I go, don't do it, you fool. You bloody fool. What are you talking about, man? Don't pull out the camera. The chief. The chief. This guy's like, Jesus, I don't even know you. You tell me what? I just put the camera away. Well, what do you mean? You heard what he said. You'll disrespect the chief. Ask his permission if he take his picture, you fool. You want us all to get eaten? This guy's like, holy Jesus. What bungalow are you staying in? Yeah, could we get a table away from the Hendrys tonight? Thank you. So we get into this, and I'm thinking I'm going to meet, you know, some chief, like some guy right out of Zulu Nation or something. Some guy with a bone through his nose, a big spear, a big shield, like shrunken heads hanging on the door. And we get up there, and the chief's sitting on a porch wearing a Georgia Bulldog T-shirt. What is this? You know, it's like Q105 plays the hits. I mean, you know, this is what this guy's wearing. I get up there, this cat's, you know, he's got a ball, he's got the Cub game on a cable. And he's wearing a T-shirt that says, you know, the Marietta Chicken, save it. You know, what are you talking about that's bad mojo, man? The guy's wearing a freaking LSU Tigers T-shirt. And he's sitting there just ha 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 laughing his ass off at everything. People taking his picture, ha 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 ha. He laughed his ass off. And this whole thing they told the women, cover your shoulders. Well, that may be for the white women, but the ladies that I saw sitting in his house had on tube tops. Had on tube tops, they were eating Doritos and them bugle chips. 4 o'clock, and all I can hear is,
today at 4 on Oprah, you can...
It's just coming out of his living room. The chief. But you know, seriously, that's the chief. And they got a council of chiefs down in Fiji, but it's a modern chief. He follows, you know, SEC football. He's got the sports page, Sweet 16, you know.
What do you like? Gonzaga?
So, we got out of there, and then we go and, you know, did the usual thing. We went and drank some more kava with the village people and split. But before when I say village people, I mean the Fijian village people. I wasn't drinking kava with the village people. Like somebody asked me earlier today,
oh, you were having kava with the guy in the motorcycle suit? Ah-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Ah-ha-ha-ha.
Shut up. The other thing, though, is I met these village kids, like the teenagers, 15 and 16 years old. You know, it's funny how we think we're the center of the world. It's funny how we think that everything that we dig, everything that we're into, everybody knows about. So I asked, the first question I asked was, what do you guys think of Britney Spears, right? They never heard of her. They never heard of her. I'm talking about 15, 16, 17-year-old kids in Fiji. Well, who? What? What do you think of Christina Aguilera? We don't know. So who do you listen to? Vince Gill? I ain't kidding you. They're into country music. Vince Gill, Garth Brooks, Skeeter Davis. I don't know. Just some real, you know, Brenda Lee. Some real out there names. I said, do you know Dwight Yoakam? They go, yeah, dig him. So I thought if I run into Dwight again, I said, hey, do you know you're huge in Fiji, man? So then I asked him, and the one thing you don't see down there, movie theaters. I didn't see a one, not one, anywhere. Now, I know they got videos, you know, they got TV.
I don't know if they have TV, because there wasn't any TV where I was staying, and there weren't any telephones either. And as far as computers go, T1, DSL, dial up, Jack. Okay? One of the guys we met, I said, do you like movies? Yeah, I like movies. What's your favorite movie? Navy SEALs. What? Have you heard of this movie? Well, it turns out Charlie Sheen's in it. And the reason why he likes the movie is because Charlie Sheen was down there staying at the hotel and gave him a copy. So it's the only movie he owns. It's his favorite movie, only movie he owns. But they never heard of nothing, man. They don't know from nothing. They just, you know, they're glad to see us, and they were very friendly, but they're not impressed. They're not knocked out, although they did say they'd like to go to America someday. I said, what do you think is in America? They go, we don't know, but I don't know. It seems to be cool. A lot of people come down here with a lot of, spreading a lot of change around. So we got out of the village and made it back in time for, I don't know, whatever it was we were eating for dinner. But the other thing that I was noticing down there, because I got one of those books, Fiji, Avoid Mosquito Bites. Oh, thanks for telling me, Matt. I've been down here 3 days. What do you mean avoid mosquito bites? Dung fever. What? That's the stuff that kills people. Yes, dung fever. Just whatever you do, have a good time in Fiji, but don't ever let a mosquito bite you. By this time, I'm covered with mosquito bites. And me being the normal, cool, calm, and collected guy that I am, naturally I go into a whole anxiety fit about getting dung fever. I go to Maria, do you feel okay? Because I feel a little feverish. She goes, what are you talking about? I don't know. It's something about dung fever. It's suddenly, and I'm feeling achy, like maybe I've got malaria. You know, it's just, it's wild. It's really beautiful, though. But this time of year, man, hotter than hell. It's like 90 degrees. And so we took this trip over to this little island. You sit in the water, and it's like, it's hot. The water is hot. I'm not talking about warm. Hot, like you're taking a bath. It really, no, you wouldn't like it, Chris. It really sucks. And then all there is to drink all day is rum. What a bore. So you got to sit in this warm ocean water and drink rum with some blonde babe. You know, what's good about that? Stay home, stay here. It's way better. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Then you got to go snorkeling. That sucks. Then you got to drink more kava. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Show
1-800-449-8686. So, finishing up my story about Marie and I in Fiji over the last week and a couple days, actually. So then we were at the Cousteau, which is a tremendous, beautiful place there, right on this island called Vanua Levu. So then we go around the other side of the island to another resort because we got invited to stay there for a couple of nights. It's called the Namali. And this place is five-star righteous. Just sweet. I mean, they got a bowling alley, okay? And I'm not talking about, like, 86 lanes. They got two lanes. I mean, huh? You're in Fiji. There's a bowling alley, okay? And then they got one of those virtual golf games. So it's really nice. And they also have, this sounds cool, but just hear me out. They got right out in the middle of the bay a water trampoline. Okay, so it's right out in the middle of the bay. It's a big inner tube with a trampoline on it. Imagine an inner tube, and then you just suspend a trampoline in the middle of it, right? So it's about 7 foot in diameter trampoline. Well, the theory, I guess, is you bounce up and down, and then you can bounce into the water and then crawl out and get back up and bounce into the water, right? So it's out about, I guess, about 50, 60 yards. So Marie and I swim over to this thing. Well, she gets up onto it no problem. But me, being the fat tub of guts that I am, you might as well be trying to haul up 68 tons of cement up under this thing. Because there I am. There's got this ladder hanging off of it. I'm like, yee-yee! And, you know, it's just typical. I'm going, come on, Maria, help me, will you? Well, you're slippery. You got on sunblock. Come on, will you? Back in the water I go.
Well, come on, honey, I'm helping you. Well, you're not helping, honey, come on.
How about this? How did you lose some weight, you fat pig? Then maybe we'll get you up onto the trampoline. And I'm like, come on, we're... And then I grab a hold of it, and I got a hold of another piece of it, and I pull myself up, and like a beached whale, like a fat slob of a whale, I just... I finally get up on this thing, laying face down on it, and what do I hear through the wind as it ripples through the beautiful palm fronds? What do I hear as I hear the sounds of birds winging their way south? I also hear the guys at the dive shop laughing their asses off. As Fat Boy lays there, 15 minutes of a show I put on for these guys. Just... At one point, Maria offered to get off of it, swim around, and push me up by way of my ass. Yeah, okay, that'd be great. That would complete the look. There I am, Fat Boy.
Oh, that was my ukulele.
By the way, is it Blake Barley? Blake Barkley is going to be on later on singing some of his songs. So there I am, white as a ghost, haven't had any sun in God knows when. So just imagine, do I look like I'm right for Fiji? You bet. No tan, 240 pounds, bathing suit too small, and my wife trying to push my ass up onto this water trampoline. There we are. So I finally get up there. I'm like, I made it. And she's going, this will be fun. So what you do is you jump up and down, you go to the water. I said, I ain't jumping into the water. Look how long it took me to get on this thing. I'm going to go jumping up and down, then wee, go into the bay, and then I got to swim back around and go through another 20 minutes of hell? Not in your life. I'm just going to stand here and go up and down on the trampoline. Well, in theory, a trampoline in the middle of the ocean should be a ball, but the problem is it's probably only meant for kids or for, you know, women like Janice, who weighs 90 pounds next to nothing. You can go up and down on this thing, or Maria, you know. But me, I jumped up and down on it, and I flattened, I bottom out on the ocean. So the actual trampoline is hitting the water underneath it. It's just... You know, so I'm not getting any lift. I'm just... Blap, blap, blap. You know, were you ever a kid, and back when you were, you know, like when you weighed less, and there was always the fat kid that would get on the trampoline with you? And you'd be like, come on, Piggy, you got to get up.
No, I get to be on it just like everybody else.
Come on, man, you're blowing it. Just, you know, you're every time we go up and down, you're
like, no, I'm going to get on it. You're going to get off.
Because if you go down and we do, and it just deadens everything out, and we don't get any lift, okay?
No, not next to my mom's hand.
Yeah, fat. So you got to get off and let Piggy go up and down for a while. All right, are you done?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, that was me. So there's Maria. She's trying to go up and down. And she's, look at Fatso, why don't you get off? I'm getting off. I went through the tortures of the dam to get on this thing. I ain't getting off right now. It was wild. It was wild. Anyway, got off of it and swam to shore. All the while, I can hear those guys in the dive shop. Bula, look like you had a hard time out there, huh? So then I really did a square thing. Everybody else is, I don't know what the hell they were doing, but I saw these two, these sun cats. See, here's my thing. I don't really need to bungee jump. Why? Because I have a fear of heights. And because I don't bungee jump, I don't consider it to be an affront to my manhood that I don't do it. I have a fear of heights, and I'm not going to bungee jump, because I figure if I did, in order to prove a point, I would die from a cardiac arrest. Simple enough equation, isn't it? Simple to the point. Well, as always happens to Phil, and I don't know about the rest of you, guess what? I ran into that wonderful bird called the American on vacation. I found another guy, only this guy... He knew what it was all about. So there we are sitting in the resort, and I'm trying to have a quiet drink, and here's Charlie from Indiana. And he's there with his wife, Bee, or whatever her name is, and they've just blown in from Fort Wayne, and he's a physician. And, oh, you know, the Charlie just loves to bungee jump.
I just don't know how he does it.
You see, Phil, I love to take a leap of faith.
Oh, really, Charlie? That's great.
That's right. You see, it's not so much the adrenaline rush. It's the leap of faith. And, Phil, most people never take that leap of faith. You see, Phil, and I'm sitting there wishing that I could suddenly just, it was legal to shove shards of glass down someone's throat. Just wishing. Maybe in Fiji it is. I don't know. Yeah, tell me all about it, Charlie, okay? Like, I never took a leap of faith in my life. See, I'm taking it personally, though. That's the other thing that's kind of childish. Why would I take it personally? This clown is laying his trip on me. Whatever. Yes, I take the leap of faith. And sure, and the guy's about 56, 60 years old. He's got the receding hairline with the, you know, he's got on the Walter Brennan wire rim country doctor glasses. So we're not talking about Jean-Claude Van Damme here. Just some square from Fort Wayne, Indiana. But he's out there every morning on the dive boat. I can see it coming in at about 7 o'clock. There he is in the front of the bow with his hair just blowing in the wind. In his little dive suit. And he's going to go bungee jumping. You see, Phil, and I'm thinking, oh, well, lay it on me, man. Now, one time, okay. But then here comes the next one.
Yeah, my wife and I, we traveled through Chicago O'Hare.
Yeah, we flew out of L.A.
LAX is a mess.
Well, LAX is not that mess. And his wife says,
well, Charlie, why do you say it's a mess?
Oh, it's just a mess.
I said, well, it's not that bad. The Bradley terminal's pretty good, you know. I mean, you can get in and out.
No, it's a mess.
So finally, I had a belly full of this guy, and I said, well, maybe if you want a conveyor belt taking your ass from your car to the gate, yeah, I guess it is a mess. And suddenly, the room just shuts down. Not a word. And I get back to the room, and Maria's like, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, what did I do? You know what you did? You opened your big bazoo to the country doctor there. The guy's dissing my town. What do you mean LAX is a mess? It's no more messy than O'Hare. Look, LAX is a mess if you're blowing in here from the farmhouse in Fort Wayne. Then it's a mess. If you know a little bit about how to fly an airplane out of an airport, it's a pretty user-friendly airport. I hear people talking about standing in line after line after line at LAX for security. I got in and out of that security line in like 3 minutes. What are you talking about? Got an idea for you. Why don't you fly at another time besides 10 o'clock at night? Anyway, I digress. So, the guy was going bungee jumping the next day at the resort, right? This doctor from Fort Wayne. As he was laying it on me about how most people, Phil, never take the leap of faith. Yes, Phil, take it from me, Phil. Yeah, okay, Doc. So I find out when he's going bungee jumping, and I got up there and talked to the guy that was working the concession, right? I gave him a pair of gardening shears. And, well, I won't go any further, but we won't be having any problems with him anytime soon. All right, 1-800. Oh, by the way, I said all of that to say that my vacation photos from Fiji will be up on the Phil Hendry Show website very soon, if not tomorrow, Thursday. So I'm not just sharing this with you on the air. You can see all of the pictures from Fiji up on my website within the next couple of days. All right, so check that out, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. And while you're there, get a backstage pass. It's only $6.95. You get all the quality Class A, Grade A, number one radio comedy material from The Phil Hendry Show.